Hello, I am Jamie McDonald, stand-up comedian, writer, actor, and definitely not the most recent winner of Strictly Come Dancing. Now, it might be the work of an all-powerful god, or it might be just because we've not had one in a while. Or it might even be the disastrous consequences of man-made climate change, but you cannot deny we have had a cracking summer. There's people walking around Scotland with homegrown tans. Sunscreen. It's been sold for domestic use, and I even heard talk of an ice cream in Dundee that melted before it could be finished. August was particularly roasting, and I spent a large part of that in Edinburgh performing my latest stand-up show. Four stars from the Telegraph. MacDonald has a beguiling way with anecdotes and punchlines alike, but nobody's reading them. I was taking part in the world's biggest arts festival, The Fringe. It's a global event that attracts vast numbers of international tourists and performers to Edinburgh's death trap cobbly narrow streets. In recent years, The Fringe has made it its mission to always be the biggest fringe ever. Every space, every nook, every cranny in Edinburgh over August has the potential to become a venue. Oh, enjoy Romeo and Juliet in a pub toilet, The Merchant of Venice in a garden shed, and I once got a whiff of Hamlet coming from a skip, but that might just have been a cigar. Oh, it truly is a cauldron of culture, comedy and chaos, and it is fantastic, if you can see. If, like me, you can't see, a hot fringe in August is a folk-filled sweaty nightmare. Folk-filled sweaty nightmare. Try saying that after a couple of pints. When I'm out and about on my own, I sublet my safety to strangers. Yes, I allow the general public to be responsible for me, trusting them to concentrate on my behalf. And normally, they are brilliant at this unofficial, unpaid civic duty. Proof, I'm still here. But The Fringe turns this all on its head. All sympathy for thy fellow man, out the window, as swarms of tourists collectively decide they don't want to be responsible for Jamie's well-being, preferring instead to gather in clusters, packing out pavements, jostling for the best view of the city's many street performers, creating impenetrable, impassable walls of people. Tell you, it is humbling when you find out your safety is nowhere near as interesting as a Hungarian chainsaw juggler. Scottish independence is a big topic at the moment, but ironically, in Scotland's capital in August, independence is suspended for blind people. It is maddening and makes me think terrible thoughts. Oh, the murderous fantasies I've had walking up the Royal Mile. Oh, my white stick is no longer just a mobility aid. It has been modified by the military and is now an ankle-swiping electronic zapper that I swish with gusto at the screaming, now parting tourists as I shout, "Get out my way!" in seven different languages. But I also understand that kind of thinking isn't helpful. What would be helpful is if the welfare of blind people was taken into consideration when planning the festival. For example, there are loads of road closures. I get it, you don't want cars everywhere, but cars are how we get to places. We don't have the option of just skipping down Edinburgh's wynds and passages. Our routes through towns and cities are all fixed and learned. So when I find my normal crossing is blocked by a troop of French fire breathers, yes, they are delighting some Danes, but they're making my day-to-day dangerous. Surely there must be a compromise where blind people can enjoy the festival without a constant nagging fear of imminent injury and death. Is that too much to ask? But anyway, the summer is over, the circus has left town and we have survived. And we can all breathe a huge sigh of relief and relax. But not for too long, because autumn and winter are around the corner. And with that comes the dark nights, the slippy leaves and the lethal black ice. What lives we lead. Thank you all.
Well, I can definitely empathise with some of that, but let's get more of it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Jamie McDonald is with me now. Yeah, quite a time you had at The Fringe, although it's a fabulous place to be.
It is. It's a particularly unique event in Edinburgh, but oh my goodness, it is a chore
to get around. It does sound like I'm really kind of kicking into it, but I think it's only because I want a solution. You know, I don't want anyone to not have fun. I mean, it's not just blind folk. I reckon wheelchairs must struggle. But I would imagine actually wheelchairs struggle like hell in Edinburgh anyway. It's these medieval boys, they like their stairs, you know, uneven and windy.
People complain about the state of the roads when they're driving. Try on the pavements when you're with a guide dog or a cane. It's an expedition.
Yeah, you know, you'll know yourselves. Mobility training is quite important, and you struggle when suddenly your way is blocked by, as I said, a bunch of French fire breathers. I've not luckily bumped into them yet, but we don't have alternatives is what I'm trying to get across. Because basically what I ended up doing, actually it was a couple of lads from the RNIB helped me get to and from my venue, which was very good of them. Shout out to Ian, Bill and Jane, because without them I don't know if I'd have been able to do the show. And that my worry is that it would scare off other blind performers for applying for the Fringe. And you know, and if you are a comedian and you want to get on, you've got to do it. So you have to figure out a way to do it. And as I say, it's getting bigger and harder to do it, because the event is it's a colossus.
But it is, as you say, it's the one to be at. But even as a spectator or someone who wants to go and watch something, you know, if you're blind or partially sighted, the Fringe has so many performances now that are already described. You know, it's easy to book if you need accessible ways to get in or seated in the venue. You know, they do go out their way, but it is that bit when you're out and about on the streets, it's chaotic, which I suppose you could probably say about any kind of really big festival like that, really.
I didn't realise you could do audio description. Mine wasn't.
There wouldn't be much to describe. There's a really tall guy with a white cane wandering on the stage with a pint in his hand, and then you just can't get a word in edgeways when you start.
How do you know I've got a pint in my hand?
I'm using poetic license here. Lemonade. I have been in Edinburgh at one of the festivals a few years ago now with a guide dog, and I know like what you're talking about, because first of all, you know the routes, because I've been in Edinburgh lots and lots of times, so I know certain routes if I want to get from A to B. If something blocks that route or causes me problems, it's like you're trying to use maybe your GPS, a sat-nav, an app, trying to find your way, but you're then flying blind because you don't know this new route that you have to take. And if you're on your own, it's a bit mental. My guide dog wrote to his union because he was not happy about the work I was putting him under during that. You know, he was protesting.
But or his pay.
Indeed, but it is incredibly difficult. And I don't think people consider that.
I think the general public, by and large, are fantastic, but the Fringe, there's just too many people. You get lost. So if you're on a kind of, even just a normal busy high street, and you're a kind of blind chap walking up and down with a cane or a dog, you're quite noticeable, you stand out a bit, but you don't in the Fringe. There's a billion people not looking about, and you just end up getting caught up in the maelstrom. I wouldn't have been able to go, as I say, I wouldn't have been able to get to my show without help. That's as damning an indictment as you can get of a thing in 2025, that you as a disabled person are unable to get to your, basically to your work. because of town planning.
You wanted to be popular, but at the same time, you want to be able to get around. And like you say, you know, RNIB Scotland provided these volunteers to help you. What you should have done is dressed them in black suits and black ties, gave them the shades, and they could have looked like bodyguards, and people would have thought you were super important with these people escorting you through the streets.
That's not a bad shout, actually. Yeah, I gave them tasers.
Well, you mentioned that about your cane, because it kind of does become a weapon in those kind of... The aspect that's so busy, you've got to use it to try and clear a path.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you start holding it like a club. It's an arc for me, and I don't know if I've got any type of platform to moan about it. I'm going to do it, because it's one end, it's inconvenient. At the other end, it's like you could get seriously hurt. Edinburgh is full of like sudden flights of stairs. If you've decided that you've got to go off piste because you cannot get around them, like you're in busy roads, it's congested, it's people not looking about, it's roasting, so everyone's annoyed. The attitude just changes. I sublet my safety to strangers, you know. I do basically go and go, I'm going this way, who's helping, you know? And it doesn't happen in August. They just say, no, us, we're just blocking the Royal Mail, mate. We're watching this guy.
Have you ever used apps like GPS or sat nav kind of apps to get around? Or even, you know, the buzz thing at the moment is the Meta smart glasses that hook up to your phone. You can get people on FaceTime, can look through the camera and guide you through your glasses. You ever thought about trying any of those?
You're speaking to me on Microsoft Teams, where I've joined as Jamie. I am not technically advanced enough. I've never even heard of that. So what is it? Like, you put on these things and it tells you where you're going? Who speaks to you?
Let me recommend our Tech Talk show to you. cheap plug in there. So his Ray-Ban smart glasses look pretty cool. Yeah. Ray-Ban glasses, but they have a little camera that hooks up to your phone, and they can describe things like what's around you. If you ask it to tell you what's in front of you, what's around you, and if you get there's AI, but there's also just recognition in there as well that can tell you stuff or what, maybe what a sign says that's in front of you. Or you can get on your WhatsApp, call someone on your FaceTime. They can actually see through the camera on your glasses, so they're kind of looking in your eye line.
Do you use them?
I've not tried them yet, but a couple of guys have, and I'm like, I need to try these.
I should try that. I should try, even just to get more stand-up.
Then you might see how many people are really in the audience.
It's like, are you exactly? Wow. Take them off. Oh, you get your drunk mate. No, mate, go in there. Take a life back.
Don't get someone drunk on the other end of your glasses to give you directions. That could be pretty dangerous. But, you know, even in, obviously we're talking about like huge festivals in these kind of medieval cities. Do you not find though that even when you're out and about, like street furniture, bollards, tables and chairs, cafe culture, or people just constantly looking at their phones and not where they're going?
Getting around pedestrianised cafe areas has always been difficult. And that seems to be the theme of the day now, is to basically pedestrianise as much as you can. I mean, like, another gripe of mine is Queen Street Station in Glasgow. Like, I don't know how you get dropped off there anymore. You can't seem to get there by anything but like a black taxi, a hackney cab. They're the only ones that can pull up outside. If you're getting dropped off by, you know, a pal or a family, I don't know where they park. You got across George Square. How's that accessible? It's like, come on, guys. It's like, we've got it pretty tough. Why make it just any harder when you don't have to? That's kind of what I think.
That's the same for Waverley Station, Edinburgh. The taxis used to come right into the train station, and it was so easy. You learned the route, and you knew the taxis came in. Now it's like, spin the bottle. What street are they parked on this time? Where's the rank moved this time? Away at the back of the station, somewhere outside.
It was also just like so civil. You'd come off a train, and you just go into a taxi, and they drive out of the station. Why was that? Rubbish. I think if you've got luggage or anything, I think it's about two or three of these really, really slow rubbish lifts that take you up onto Market Street. Then you head off left under Northbridge, and there they are.
Somewhere. Town planning, like you say, pedestrianisation, shared spaces is a big one as well. And I had to laugh, actually. So obviously I go to London a lot, and there's a lot of shared spaces there where there's no curbs. So the guide dog is like, I don't know what everything is. I'm just going to walk. And apparently on the highway code for shared space, if you want to walk across the road, you should make eye contact with the driver.
Well, I could do that with my Ray-Bans. That guy doesn't look like he's stopping, pal.
It's okay, we're filming it for the insurance claim, you're fine.
It's funny because you end up starting to sound like a kind of grumpy old man, but I just think that these decisions are made without due consideration of the impact on certain, and it's a sizable amount of people. Like, you know, a lot of people have got visual impairments or have got mobility issues, and they just can't. I know for a fact, like, a lot of people, including myself, want to do as much as they can on their own when they want to do it, and they don't want to rely on other people. And I think having to rely on other people chips away at our own independence, and it's just, I think, a right pain.
RNIB have launched, they've got this travel and transport survey. They've literally, in time for this chat actually, they launched one on walking and the difficulties there. And I was at one of your shows a little while ago, and you talked about wheelie bins. And they talk about things that the public can do just to make things get out. And it is, just take your wheelie bin in when it's emptied, cut back your hedges and your branches off the street. There's simple things that can get done. But if you know it's wheelie bin day, oof, trouble.
I think I used the analogy, I used to bounce around Glasgow like a municipal pinball on bin day.
And I think you said something about you suddenly realised when they changed bin day.
Walking down the street, like, you get your kind of night fever strut on, bang, all right, bin day's changed, is it? Also, I call them mind the signs. You know, like the wet floor. You know that one? Bang.
Have you ever thought about trying, like, working with a guide dog?
I've got a dog. It'd be very difficult. I don't think you can have a guide dog and a dog.
Oh, yeah. That's allowed.
Is it? This is
the 21st century. It's allowed.
Do you know, it's funny the stuff you just make up in your head and you think, oh, that must be true. I've thought it for years. It's absolute nonsense. I used to do this joke about, you know, guide dogs, you know, like, they're not sat-navs. You just suddenly wake up in the morning and go, I want to go to the zoo. They go, oh, okay, this way, woof, woof. like you've got to kind of like know the route with them as well. But I suppose what the guide dog does then is on the route, if something has changed on it, they can react to that. Is that probably
yeah
the,
they should keep you from serious injury or help you get from A to B and avoid those mind the signs. Mind the trip hazard sign.
Mind the holly bush coming out the old side of the old gate. Yeah, that's good.
And you also talked about the seasons changing as well. If anyone listens to this and lives in Canada, I'm so envious of this. So in Canada, if you live in one of the areas that gets really, really bad winters, you can get a cane, right? You'll like this. Yeah. And on the end of it is a little ice pick that's used to kind of help them in the ice and snow. There's your weapon.
So what do you like? What does it do? Like slam it into the ground?
It must be like a little pick that's on the end and it kind of jabs into the ground.
Well, you're just going to pull yourself along. Do you ice skate then?
It'll be handy in the medieval streets of the cobbles that go up huge hills and down steep braes.
Yeah, what a scythe. I thought you were going to say it's got a flamethrower for melting the ice. That'd be fantastic.
Something to consider, maybe, if you fancy trying Dragon's Den, maybe. But I mean, I suppose the season, not everyone who is blind is totally blind. You know, some people have light perception, some people struggle and, you know, when it gets dark earlier or things like that.
I'm okay in most things, but the snow kills me. It redraws the map. There's no, like, you don't know where any of the kind of curbs are. There's also, it creates a whole new soundscape. People always are surprised, aren't they, when blind people know where they are, like in a car and stuff like that, because of the twists and turns and everything. But you've got all these little cues that you do that for the snow knackers for me.
Suddenly the curb's gone.
The curb's gone.
So you don't know where that crossing is. Where's that road I'm supposed to turn left or right onto? I have absolutely, I never thought about the soundscape, but it deadens everything, so you can't use that little sort of echolocation.
It's totally changes. I mean, but you know, like if you're out and about with your dog and your wife or your family or your partners, it's lovely. Like I'm coming home, like I just hate everything. I love the snow. It's nice to go out for a walk, but I don't like getting about in it, because then stuff like, you know, they build up big snowy banks at the side, you end up climbing up one of them.
And the black ice.
We're lucky to be alive.
I've come across the black ice and I have went down like a ton of bricks. Now, I could have shattered my hips and my spine, but the first thing that jumps to mind is who saw me.
Yeah. Oh, you back up like a spring in a box, aren't you?
Or the wee blind person's fallen.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll either get an old person who'll run over to try and help you, or you'll get a young person who wants to make you a TikTok moment.
Yes, exactly. You get somebody that's just so happy to be helping you, aren't you? Like, it's like, you know, as you say, an old person, it's like their second tire have been helped up. It's like they can help somebody up as well. And you're like, ah, damn you. I hope you fall. I can help you later. And then spring comes and it's all lovely again. And then the Edinburgh Festival happens and I'm swinging my Canadian ice pick around like a maniac trying to get to work.
With your Ray-Bans actually trying to find people to hit.
Yeah, 2 o'clock.
Technology, the seasons, guide dogs, festivals, medieval cities.
A cornucopia of topics there.
No doubt more to come from Jamie McDonald in the future. Brace yourself for the next episode. Jamie, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.